Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of The Flashcast, an unofficial podcast of the CW's The Flash. I'm Steven Bueno.
Cristian Cabrera.
If you're new to the podcast, what we do is discuss every week's episode of The Flash. This week, we're going to be talking about Season 2, Episode 8, Legends of Today. And also, since this episode is tied closely to Season 2, Episode 8 of Arrow, we'll also be talking about Legends of Yesterday, which is the Arrow episode. We're not going to go too much detail about the Arrow, but obviously since the overall story spans both episodes, we'll be talking about elements. But we're going to stick mainly to things that pertain to the Flash, although I do highly recommend you go check out Arrow. It's amazing, and it ties in with this universe perfectly. So, for the first thing we're going to be talking about, the villain that is introduced for these two episodes, which is Vandal Savage. Now, if anyone has seen Justice League, the Justice League animated series, or has even read anything about the Justice League, they know that Vandal Savage is this immortal being that is like one of the most badass villains that could ever exist in the DC universe.
Yeah, I always see him as one of the smarter ones. Most people would say it was Lex Luthor would be like the quintessential as being the brainiac of that. But he has centuries of knowledge throughout his disposal, which is actually just as deadly as what he actually does as well.
And one thing they do bring up in the series is that he's been trained by many, many people. He's been the advisor to like Genghis Khan. So this guy's been in the shadows for so many years, and it's nice to see him. You know, for people that have seen the show and read the comics, it's nice to see this character finally on screen. And honestly, the character is just amazing, and he looks creepy. He looks exactly what you would think Vandal Savage would look like, except I always kind of envisioned Vandal Savage to be a little bigger, you know, a little bit more built.
Yeah, you would see that, yeah, since he is trained in pretty much almost any type of martial arts, also fighting styles as well. You would expect him to be at least a little more bulkier, but he's not. But that's the scary part about him, though, when you actually see the episode.
That is true, because he's... And if you would just see him in a crowd, you wouldn't suspect too much of him, aside from the sinister look he has. But he could definitely wreck a crowd, man. Just at the beginning scene, and the first thing you see him in when he's coming off the boat as a prisoner, and he just wrecks those dudes on the pier, on the dock, man.
Yeah, he just takes out those police officers one by one really easily, and it's insane the amount of movement he does just to take them down, which really isn't a whole lot.
I think an introduction like that is very, for me at least, it was almost essential for that character. You couldn't have anything light. You had to, from the very beginning, especially from how much you see throughout these two episodes of him, from the very beginning you saw like, you kind of had to have that character introduced in that manner. You can't have like a little small moment. You needed something grand and something big. And to me that it worked. Vandal Savage's introduction worked very well.
Oh yeah, I totally agree. That's over the top, and it's really good.
Now, it's also important to note that Vandal Savage is tied, in the series, Vandal Savage is tied a lot with both Kendra Saunders and then another character that comes in later on in the show or later on in the episode. And so one of the first things that happens is Vandal Savage decides to attack Cisco and Kendra when they're on one of their first dates. And, you know, it really does suck for Cisco, because it seems like no matter what, Cisco can't get a break in his love life.
No, it sucks. He's just looking for some sort of romance, or when he actually does find one, something always ends up tipping the scale over away from him being just lonely.
You know, it's one of those things that we're always rooting for Barry, obviously, in The Flash. But Cisco it's honestly one of my favorite characters in the show. Sometimes even much more so than Barry. But it's like he has this constant underdog story. And it, I guess it even translates to his love life, where he's like, okay, I found this really cool girl. We're going to, you know, we're going on a date. Everything's clicking. And then all of a sudden, someone's trying to kill us. Mm-hmm. And instantly he drops the ball and he reveals that the Flash is Barry.
Barry. Oh my God. That scene was ridiculous. It's the fact that he just zoops in. He's like, oh, cool. Thank you, Barry. He's like, oh, crap.
I love and just Barry's reaction of, dude, like, really? You're going to tell everybody that I'm the Flash right now. Or at least you're going to tell this new chick that you don't really know. So that was pretty funny to see. Now, moving along, we do have them going to Starling City, or I guess Star City now, and meeting up with Arrow, because I think Barry realizes that this is a much bigger threat than any they faced before. And even though Barry has to deal with metahumans and Barry's dealing with Zoom, him being able to see just how much of a threat Vano Savage is shows a lot of foresight, man.
Oh, yeah, definitely. When it comes to any type of villain that's most likely they feel that or deemed impossible to actually overtake, you have to at least find people that are almost exactly like you to try to take them down. Vano Savage is one of those ones where I think it took almost the whole Justice League. I remember from the animated series, it took the whole Justice League to take him down, and he had like a crazy devious plan. I forgot which episode it was, but anyways. But yeah, you need help when it comes to taking him down.
When it comes to Vandal Savage.
Yes, he is deadly.
Now, the story, obviously, most of the episode takes place with a team trying to combat Vandal Savage. But one of the cool little side stories, too, is Harrison Wells. Harrison Wells and Caitlin, and they're trying to come up with a speed drug. So, basically, Harrison Wells is trying to make Barry quicker. And he needs him to be quicker to combat Zoom. So one of the things he does is create this drug, which Jay Garrick knows all about. And Jay Garrick isn't really up for, I guess, being used as a guinea pig, essentially.
Yeah, because just like what Wells said, he was originally going to make this serum. He made it 5 different times, didn't work out, but he was originally going to make this for Jay Garrick so he can help battle Zoom. But as Harrison Wells always said, you're too much of a wimp. Anyways, you're never going to defeat Zoom as it is. And the name of that actual serum, it's Velocity 9. It's very, very much overly used a lot in the comic books as well.
You know, I actually liked that whole story, and the speed drug was interesting, and I would have liked to see what that would have done to Barry, but obviously you don't really get to see that throughout the episode. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like that'll be something that they'll revisit in the future, because there's just no way that you would have something like that in your back pocket and just not use it.
No, I don't know.
So talking about that a little bit more, Patty ends up going to Star Labs, and she ends up shooting Harrison Wells, because as you remember, Harrison Wells in their world was the Reverse Flash, and obviously this complete villainous character. So she I guess she's just really confused, because I'm thinking she just thought, oh my god, this guy's supposed to be dead. So she ends up shooting him, and he goes into a bit of a coma, and that kind of pushes the agenda of like Jay Garrick having to use the speed drug to really to help, I guess, in this case.
Yeah, I would say save, most likely, because that bullet is just so lodged inside of him.
So, it's interesting that that Jay Garrick does it, because throughout the whole series, you see that they don't really like each other. The Jay Garrick and Harrison Wells, there's this sort of animosity, but it does show that Jay Garrick is willing to put things aside. And, you know, at the end of the day, Jay Garrick is a superhero. And even though it's been revealed that he is afraid of Zoom and that he doesn't really know how to, like, combat him, I want to say that this shows that he still has a bit of hope, you know?
Yeah, I'm really hoping that they do give him back his speed if somehow they do get it, or somehow he overdoses on Velocity 9 maybe to try to help. But you know he's trying so hard. You think that could be a thing? It could be a thing. They've always used Velocity 9 a lot in the comics, so it's not... It's technically not brand new, but it's new to the show. But you can also just use it, too. It's still a trump card.
A velocity junkie?
Yeah, exactly.
I could dig that, man. Mm-hmm. That would be an interesting twist, dude.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That I'm looking forward to maybe them using it, but it's only been used once so far. I'm really hoping it's going to be pushed. It has to be pushed. There's no way it can't.
And so that sort of concludes that little backstory, and just shows, you know, Jay Garrick's willingness to help and just how far he can go, but just how far he doesn't want to. So I think that's essentially what that little subplot, well, at least what I took from that little subplot.
Yeah, I got the same vibe off of that. It really wasn't a whole lot of it, but it's a big, meaningful thing it's actually occurring. You can see Jay Garrick's finally coming around, probably wanting to help more, but he knows he can't. But even that small part of even helping Dr. Wells actually did help a lot, like a lot in the long run.
Well, just to talk about Jay Garrick's character a little bit, it sort of shows how impotent he feels at times, I guess, because he did have this speed force and he did have this power. And even with this power, he couldn't stop Zoom, and now he doesn't have this almost this thing that makes him him. So what does he really have? I think that the character himself probably feels just so incredibly powerless, and it's probably in his head, you know? A lot of it probably gets to his head quite a bit.
Well, he's also intelligent, too. He's a scientist, so he does help out when it comes to, you know, thinking things through, wittiness and all that stuff. That's what he has. But it just sucks that he can't personally go and actually be like, oh, I'm going to help you, so I'll run with you the whole entire way. He's like, no, it's not going to happen.
So that's what's going on with pretty much with Caitlin and with Wells and Jay Garrick at the moment. Mm-hmm. And now we're going back to Vandal Savage and almost like this really cool group of people, because it's Hawk Girl, it's Hawkman, it's was it Hawk Guy?
Yeah, Hawkman.
Hawkman.
Yeah.
Hawkman. So it's Arrow. It was the Green Arrow. It's the Flash. It's Vibe. Even though they haven't dubbed him Vibe just yet, but let's face it, it's Vibe.
It's Vibe. It's gonna be definitely Vibe.
And it's all of them, you know, getting together because they're really trying to figure out who Kendra is. And even as Hawkman comes out and he tells them, okay, this is who she is, she's still not too willing to believe it because, well, I think partly because she just started this new relationship with Cisco. And also, it's a pretty big burden to be told, by the way, you're kind of an immortal being. Not necessarily immortal because you'll be reborn, or you can die and be reborn, mm-hmm. but in a sense, you're this immortal being that's been getting killed by Vandal Savage for the past couple of centuries.
That's longer than that, actually.
And and you're part of this vicious cycle that's going to continue and continue and continue. So it's a lot for that character to take in. And as you can see in the episode, she doesn't really handle it too well at first, you know?
Yeah, at first doesn't. But then when they're trying to help her out to see if she can get her to remember again, it's really messed up how they do it. Especially when it comes to Hawkeye, because Hawkman pretty much is going up to her and saying, you can fly, you know. And then they put her up at the roof, and he just tosses her off the roof. And that just to try to see if he can get a spark out of her. But it's like, wow, really? You go to that much length to just try to have her open up?
There's, but because I do believe that there's definitely this mental block inside of Kendra that wouldn't really allow her. And as you see through the episode, that's essentially the case. There is this block, and there's this unwillingness from her to accept what she really is, which is, you know, this ancient being that keeps getting killed over and over again by Vandal Savage.
Yep. Yeah, it's a vicious cycle and it sucks. That's actually what helps keep him alive too. That's crazy that he has to kill both of them to keep on living forever. It's ridiculous.
So throughout the episode, we do see that Vandal Savage is looking for a particular item. Now this item turns out to be the Staff of Horus, which I don't necessarily think they say what Vandal's actual intentions are with it. I'm assuming it's, you know, mass destruction to some extent or another.
It wasn't really said what his, it really wasn't said what his intentions were, but Malcolm Merlyn even said it himself. If he gets a hold of that staff, he's pretty much indestructible because that thing has unlimited power.
And, you know, Vandal Savage himself is a force to be reckoned with. So given a weapon like that, and you do see it in the fight between Barry Oliver against Vandal, you do see him using the staff, and the Flash and Arrow can't really do much against them. Mm-mm. In fact, when you really think about it, at the end of the fight, they really didn't do anything against them. If Kendra hadn't awoken her powers, Vandal would have probably destroyed them.
Yeah, I most likely would have, because that's when he sensed that Shi'ara was pretty much awakened, which is Hawkgirl. And that pretty much put him in the like, well, looks like it's time for me to kill her now. Because she's finally awoken, now she knows who she is, now it's time to actually destroy both of them.
He does make that comment about quick deaths, because I was a fan of slow deaths, but now it's like, now they're just boring.
Yeah, might just kill him quickly.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that I think Vandal Savage kind of saw Flash and saw the Green Arrow and was like, okay, maybe this time around things are going to be a little more difficult than usual.
Yeah, it definitely is. He's never, just like he even said too, I've never faced anybody else with this type of tenacity. Like, I never faced anyone who's as fast as freaking Barry. He's never faced anybody who's persistent just like Oliver. Like, this is going to be an actual fight for his life.
And it does definitely turn out to be. So we're going to go right ahead to the episode of Arrow, Legends of Yesterday. And in Legends of Yesterday, it's the continuation. So basically, Kendra has already awoken her powers. She's come to terms with who, well, to an extent, come to terms with who she is. Mm-hmm. And now they're just figuring, continuing to try to figure out a way to stop Randall Savage, because now he has the Staff of Horus and he's this force to be reckoned with. And you know what's really cool is that even though you saw this big group in the Flash episode, the group gets even bigger because now it introduces Speedy, it introduces Black Canary, it introduces Spartan into the mix. So all these people are brought together against Vandal Savage, and it really shows you just how much of a danger he is, because it's like, okay, Barry's team along with Flash couldn't handle it. Now let's see what the Arrow team can bring to the mix.
Well, there's two fights that happened throughout this entire episode. The first fight actually originated with just Barry, Oliver, was Hawkgirl and Hawkguy, and they were just trying to, or Hawkman. Yeah, it's Hawkman. God damn it. I keep saying Hawkguy, I don't know why. But anyways, that's what's the original fight. They go up against some, like, pretty much they're trying to use Shiara as bait, essentially, because she barely woken her powers. He doesn't know that she knows that he's full potential. And then tragedy strikes. He ends up killing everybody in that process.
Okay, by the way, that was the most amazing scene. It kind of sucks that it wasn't on Flash, yeah. But it was on Arrow, and that was hands down one of the most amazing scenes I've ever seen, where Vandal Savage uses the Staff of Horus and just decimates everyone, and you see everyone die. And you even see it get to the farm, mm-hmm. or get to that house where they're all staying at, and it just, everyone in that house dies and gets instantly incinerated. And obviously, you know, Barry travels back in time. It's kind of what you knew that's where that was going. But to see that was insane.
That decimation was brutal, man. It was Armageddon throughout the entire region. It just showed you how powerful that staff really was to Vandal Savage.
And I quite honestly, that'll go down as my favorite scene. I guess my favorite scene in that season of Arrow, mm-hmm. because I was not expecting that.
No.
While I wasn't expecting them to win necessarily, I expect them to try to find a different way. I wasn't expecting to see all of them get killed.
Yeah, the win part was probably much the best thing, is because when they find out what mistakes they made in the pretty much the was in the past, they use that in the present, which is great. They pretty much up the ante on the gauntlets. They barely use this to grab the staff, which is really good. They finally get to work together as a team, and then that's when they added Spartan, Canary, and also Speedy all together to help out, which actually caused a really good fight scene in between him, and then you can see how badly he gets the crap beaten out of him.
You know, it's nice to see everyone working together, because you don't necessarily often see that. And while you do see, you know, Arrow and, or you used to see the Green Arrow and the Flash, you know, kind of team up, you don't see the full scope of both shows team up and help out. And this is one of the first times you do get to see that, and it was really, really cool. And it's a nice little precursor to Legends of Tomorrow. So both names kind of allude to that. Legends of Today, Legends of Yesterday. And they're all sort of talking about Legends of Tomorrow, which is, you know, essentially this big super group that is formed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we do see... Okay, let me just go back a little bit.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about some of the comedic moments in the episode, which really made the episodes for me.
Oh, yeah.
So in The Flash, I love every time Malcolm Merlyn comes into the shot comes into the Arrow hideout, he just sort of like bursts in there from the shadows, and Barry's just like, really? Is that the only way that guy knows how to enter the room? Like, come on now.
That one was one of your favorite ones, but my favorite one was essentially Damian Dark was already touching Oliver, and then you just see the Flash zooms right through, grabs him. He's like, "Oh, whoa, what in the world was that?" Like, whoa, okay. And then he grabs everyone else, and then you see Spartan, which John Diggle just vomits right there. It's like, what the? He says in his face, his reaction too. It's like, I still can't get used to that.
One, Thea, I love her reaction too. Like, really? Oh, did I know we knew the Flash? Okay, I didn't know we knew the Flash. Okay. We know the Flash.
If you didn't know, she was dead before, and then she got reincarnated. But that's an old episode from Arrow. But anyways, yeah.
I love that. That, and there's a really cool reference to the Avengers. And when they get to the farm the first time, Thea is the one that actually mentions, oh, a bunch of superheroes in a farm. I feel like I've seen this before. So it's just a small little line thrown in there, and it's just
that's
like
from Justice, that's from Superman.
Well, that, and I felt like it was a lot more reference to Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron? Oh, yeah, when God. They go to
Hawkeye's like farm or like his family home.
Oh, that's right.
And they're all just kind of hanging out there. For me, yeah, that's what it felt like a reference to. I forgot
about that. Yeah, that's true.
So it's little tidbits like that that make the show that much more enjoyable for me. Now, overall, I love these two episodes, and this was a huge, huge crossover. Definitely worth the watch. And, you know, even if you're not a big fan of Arrow, I think this show, or, you know, even though it contains a lot of spoilers, I think this episode in particular is one of those things that can get a lot of people hooked in that show because it's a big universe. Although I don't doubt that most people that watch one show watch the other.
Yeah, they're not like you and me. We watch both shows.
Yeah.
Most people just watch one of them. Like, majority of the people we know.
Well, that's what I was saying. I think most people watch both. Yeah. I'd like to think that that's the case. I know, you know, Arrow was already out for like 2 seasons prior to The Flash coming out.
3 seasons.
Was it?
Yeah.
So the first season of Arrow, first season of The Flash came out.
Then the third season three.
Well, that's what I meant. Like, there's prior seasons.
Okay, I know what you mean. Okay.
But, I mean, if any one of you guys are just Flash fans, I would definitely suggest going back, enjoying Arrow, because it makes these episodes that much better. But just on their own and in this encapsulated experience, those episodes are amazing. And I would love to see more of Vandal Savage, which is essentially what I'm trying to get at right now, is I believe that in the near future, aside from Legends of Tomorrow, I believe that there is opportunity in The Flash and in Arrow for Vandal Savage to come back. Because as we saw at the end of Legends of Yesterday, Malcolm Merlyn comes out of nowhere and picks up the ashes of Vandal Savage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can tell there's some sort of plot there that's going to happen, but you have to watch Arrow and see if anything does happen.
You know, do you think Merlyn will become a villain later on? Again?
He's always been a villain. He's never been... He's helped them when it comes to information, but never really like fought beside them. He's always been like, oh, I can tell you this, but I'm not going to help you out from here on out. It's all on you.
Yeah, basically that's what his role turned out to be. He just gave them, essentially he was exposition. He just showed up to tell them a little bit of backstory, and they were like, okay, cool. So he's dangerous. We got to stop him then.
Yeah. Oh,
God. So I definitely enjoyed the episode. What do you think?
Oh, it was great. Those two episodes, honestly, by themselves... If those two, if they made like a mini series, just only use those two episodes, it would have been perfect. It would have been great.
Yeah, I get a little standalone mini series. It would have
been really
great.
Or if they made that into like a mini movie, it would have been perfect. Like, honestly, it would have been really good.
I totally agree, man. Oh, man. All right, guys. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Flashcast. If you guys want to check out more of the stuff we got going on, head on over to filmbook.com. That's film-book.com. And search for either Steven Bueno or The Flashcast. If you guys are interested in checking out some of the stuff we do outside of Filmbook, you can check us out on YouTube by going to youtube.com/leagueofgents. That's G-E-N-T-S. Or checking us out on Facebook by going to facebook.com/leagueofordinarygents. G-E-N-T-S. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast services, go ahead and rate and review this episode. If you're listening to this podcast on YouTube, go ahead and hit that thumbs up video and leave a comment in the comment section. We definitely want to hear from you guys.